into Detroit Today. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson. For the last half century, college has been a central theme in American life. Get an education, a job, and a home has been a phrase uttered by generations of parents and teachers pushing those before them to climb the economic and social ladder. But the cost of a college education has skyrocketed during the last 50 years, and as such, it's often made getting the right job and buying a home incredibly difficult. As you probably know, President Biden has a plan to cancel student debt of up to $20,000 of college debt for millions of Americans. This is a very big deal. It's meant to give students more freedom over their adult lives. For those swimming in debt, they will be in a better position to buy a home. They'll have an opportunity to work a job that pays less but fulfills them more. They'll be a little less worried about an economically unstable future. But this plan has not come without blowback, both from conservatives and liberals. Some say this plan will cause more inflation and that prices will continue to go up. Others note that it doesn't address the problem of colleges, that they need to be better funded by the state. And still more people think this plan is just plain unfair, that they went into debt to pay for college, so others need to as well. How do we make sense of all these arguments? And what will Biden's plan do both for college students and for our politics? Where do voters stand on this plan? Will Biden's plan draw out more people to vote for Democrats in the midterms? Or will his plan bring a big backlash and drive more voters to vote for Republican counterparts? And will this debt cancellation policy actually help young people have more success in their adult lives? To talk about all of these questions and more, we have Andre Perry here with us. He is a senior fellow at Brookings Metro and a scholar in residence at American University. He has been writing a lot about the issue of college student debt and Biden's recent plan. Andre, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to be back, Nick.
Hey, thanks again for being here. And I just want to start out from the top. Everybody has the question, what's actually in the plan and who qualifies for it?
Well, the plan will cancel up to $20,000, that's $20,000 of student debt for Pell Grant recipients with loans held by the Department of Education. And it will also cancel $10,000 of debt for non-Pell Grant recipients. As many people know, the Pell Grant is offered to families in need, and that is determined by filling out the FAFSA form. Debt cancellation are for people whose incomes are less than $125,000 or $250,000 for married couples. Now, that's the meat of the plan, but it also takes some important steps in some other areas. For example, the borrower participation and income-based repayment plans have changed. And so there are plans that borrowers take out where they pay a percentage of their income. And in the past, it was about 10% of their income towards that plan. Biden's new proposal reduces it from 10% to 5%, and it forgives all loan balances after 10 years instead of 20 to 25 years in the past. In addition, Biden also reiterated the Department of Education's earlier decision to refurbish the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program to make sure that people who have worked in public institutions, nonprofit institutions, for at least 10 years get relief. So it's a comprehensive plan. A lot of people will benefit from this. So I think that it's a good thing overall, but as we'll talk about, I also feel it doesn't go far enough in areas, and ultimately it doesn't solve for the root of the problem.
All right. Leading with the air topic area there. I see you, Andre. And we will get to that in a moment. But before we do, for people who are trying to get their debt canceled, how will they go about doing this?
Yeah, the Department of Education and Biden also talked about an application form that will be developed by the end of the year. Now, a lot of people will say the Department of Ed is pretty slow. And the reason why they're refurbishing the public service loan forgiveness program is because 96% or more of applications didn't get addressed. And so they don't have a strong track record of creating applications that work. And so it's supposed to be up by the end of the year. So look out for the announcements for that. But we have a little bit of time. I mean, this is not going to happen tomorrow. And when the applications are up, it's going to take a while for those debts to be extinguished. So, but look for an application for people by the end of the year.
All right, very good. And you did mention your thoughts, but before we get into that, I do want to know, for some of the critics out there that say that this plan's a bad idea, or maybe that it shouldn't have been implemented in the first place, what arguments have you heard from them about it going too far, something that shouldn't have been implemented?
Well, the main argument, I would say there's two main arguments, and your introduction mentioned them. One is around inflation, which is somewhat of a red herring. One, the argument for inflation doesn't hold true because this program is so small relative to the overall budget. I mean, and that was what Biden wanted to address in the first place. He had to deal with arguments about regressivity, that this program would benefit the rich because in dollar amounts, more wealthy people have student loans. However, when you look at wealth, it's far more low income, low wealth people who have more individual loans. And so Biden really, by his income threshold, really limited this program to low to moderate income families. Yeah. So its impact on inflation is negligible. And if you really take that kind of approach, all government spending is negligible. So we wouldn't say Medicare and Medicaid in many ways are inflationary, but no one's going to cut those programs because we still have to address structural issues that existed before this inflationary period and will exist after. So that argument's a red herring. And then this argument of fairness. People will say, I didn't go to college. Why should my tax dollars go towards this program? Well, I don't ride roads in Montana, and my tax dollars, some of them go to U.S. National roads there. I mean, we always contribute to programs for the greater good. And that argument also lacks significant insight. College educated people create some of the best products in the world that we all use. So we want people to go to college, and that's a part of the reason why I'm for this plan, but also find it short, because ultimately we want more people to go to college. College has become as basic as a primary or secondary education, but it's not treated in the same way in terms of paying for it. We don't ask parents to take out a loan to send their kids to elementary or high school. We probably shouldn't be doing it for college either. So people who say, this argument is unfair, I mean, it really doesn't make any sense because, I mean, there's a slew of benefits and offerings that are provided by the collective taxpaying public that most of us don't use.
Yeah, you know, Andre, I want to do a forensic analysis of your taxes and see what percentage is actually going to roads in Montana. You have me intrigued there. But we are speaking to Andre Perry, a senior fellow at Brookings Metro and a scholar in residence at American University, about student debt forgiveness and the plan announced by President Biden. And I do want to give you an opportunity because you mentioned that you've been a little critical of the plan, saying it doesn't go far enough. So what would you have done? What do you think the solution should have been?
Well, and I'll explain why. There are many people who need relief, but will not because of the income threshold. When a lot of my research revolved around wealth and this impact on wealth, and a lot of my past studies on this area looked at families with low wealth but are high income. A lot of Black people, for instance, who were denied wealth building opportunities through housing discrimination, not to mention slavery, Jim Crow racism, and those type of things. But Black people, for much of America's history, were not allowed to own property, were not allowed to build wealth. And so typically, a lot of people can pay for tuition using the equity in their home, using savings through wealth development. So so a lot of Black people almost have to take out loans to go to college, particularly if you're going to private institutions. And again, this is something we're told, go to the best schools, often sometimes are private. And so you take out loans. And so $125,000 is not the same for a Black person and white person on average. On average, white people can expect an intergenerational wealth transfer when they graduate. On average, Black graduates are expected to contribute to their families. So you see the differences in wealth being played out in how loans are taken. Black people take a much longer time to extinguish their loans, and default rates are higher. Again, but this is not because of a willingness to pay or a lack of willingness to pay. This is about capacity to pay. So, but this plan, because of income, it doesn't make those nuanced decisions about who should get relief. But so it really limits it to poor to moderate income folks, as opposed to people who actually need relief.
You raise excellent points there. My question then would be about the capacity of the Biden administration to make that change or to go higher, because, you know, we normally hear that the power of the purse is held with Congress. Any change that you make related to any kind of cost should go through Congress. But I understand this is a bill, or this is, it's not a bill, it's something that he's passing by administrative order. Could he even have done it and gone further? Why is this the number they arrived at? Would they have the mechanisms to go further, as you mentioned?
Well, apparently he believes that he does. That will be challenged in court. I'm absolutely positive about that. I mean, but the difficult thing about this is congressperson is going to challenge this? Yeah. I mean, if you're running for office in your constituents, and by the way, there are a lot of Democrats and Republicans who are going to benefit from this. So this is a shrewd political move as well. So if you are standing in the way of a student getting their debt canceled, you know, that's not going to look good for you come the mid-year or election time in general. But under the HEA, the Higher Education Act, It does give the Department of Education a lot of leeway around financial aid policy. Now, on its face, it looks like this is something that could be or may be determined by congressional edict. But right now, and in the past, it's been handled by the administration. And so he's leaning on past precedent, what has been done in the past, but this is certainly a radical shift. And so it will be called into question. But right now, it looks like he has the power because for much of the federal financial aid program's history, it has been held by the administration.
We're speaking with Andre Perry, senior fellow at Brookings Metro and a scholar in residence at American University, who's been writing about the issue of college student debt a lot, as well as Biden's recent plan. But we also want to speak with you. How do you feel about President Biden's move to cancel up to $20,000 of student debt? Do you think he should have canceled more, like Andre thinks? Alternatively, do you think that what he's doing is unfair? Do you think the college payment structures should be changed altogether? Are you a college student or someone who recently graduated? We want to hear from you. How does this plan affect your life? Give us a call, 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019, and we will work you into the conversation. We also have comments on Twitter, which I want to make part of this conversation right now, including from Big Neo, saying, "We're to see regular folks complaining about student loan forgiveness, but those same people remain silent when corporate welfare and tax breaks are given out to the wealthy." We also have a comment from David on Twitter. "I'm happy about it. We took out over $30,000 in loans for my wife to finish college, and we now owe just under $22,000 and pay $360 a month. That's a car payment, car insurance, and a bigger house." And all great points. Andre, do you have anything to piggyback off of those notes from the writers on Twitter?
Yeah, for me, I think a lot of people will get and when they do get relief, they will see, wow, this is a big, relief. This is I'm taking a large weight psychologically, such a like psychological as well as this financial weight off my shoulder. And again, on around this issue of political decisions to who should deserve some form of relief. It is somewhat arbitrary, and a lot of policies do seem unfair. I mean, let's be real that tax policy favors married people. It also favors homeowners. Renters don't get the same types of tax breaks. So we're always determining who should relief based upon your conceptualization of what's good for society. And I think it's Biden is what he's saying is, hey, we need to provide some relief because in general, going to college is good, just as home ownership is good, just as in many people's mind, getting married is good. So, if we're going to start picking and choosing fairness based upon what we're seeing in this plan, we would get rid of a lot of different benefits to groups who probably don't deserve it based upon those criteria.
Right now, we're going to start off the conversation with Jarek in Waterford. Jared, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's
Go ahead.
Friday and I can't complain.
Right on.
The way I feel about it is, I have seen over my lifetime bailouts and et cetera. I feel as though I'm glad that they're finally doing something. However, I feel as though they're going about it the wrong way. I feel as though giving an X amount of dollar relief is not the right way. I feel as though they could have gone maybe further by freezing student loan debt where it is now and saying that it will retroactively be interest-free, and freezing all student loan debt and making it interest-free from here on out. So any existing student loan would no longer accrue interest, and that any interest or any loans given from here on out should be interest-free, thus shifting the burden majoritively from the taxpayers to the private sector, because we all know that banks have, you know, here and there practiced predatory banking. And I don't necessarily believe that the taxpayers should be on the hook for bailing out these predatory banking practices. I feel as though the banks have reported high enough profits that that they would be able to, I mean, especially since we're subsidizing things like farming, which are very important, such as, you know, the future of our nation with education.
Yeah,
I feel as though it would be productive.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jarek. I want to give Andre an opportunity to respond to your interesting plan. Go ahead, Andre. What are your thoughts?
No.
Is that a proposal that could work? What would the ramifications be?
I mean, there's a lot of fruit to that. You know, a lot of people are saying, why not cancel interest accrual? Because that's what's keeping a lot of people in this sort of tuition or the loan trap, that they take on these income-based payments, and interest keeps accruing. And so it takes a very long time to draw down the principal. So I think there's a lot of merit to it. And in fact, I do think there will be a lot of proposals on the table to cancel interest. And so, yeah, I think there's many different ways to get at that. And Biden chose his. And but again, I think the caller is also right in that they still don't address the root cause of the problem, which is tuition that has increased threefold over the last three decades, and there's no end in sight. And so we do need, and this is what I argue, that we do need a public option. We do need, and because public institutions are much cheaper than their private counterparts. And in fact, private colleges and universities are 75% more expensive than their public counterparts. The reason for that is state legislatures can control the spiraling or ascending tuitions. So we see that there is a cost control mechanism in the public sphere. Why not subsidize them in a way where people can go to for quote unquote free, the same way we do a K through 12 education? It would have to be different. It would have to have a lot more federal infusion, but we can move towards that system. And when we do that, we won't have to take out loans. Other countries do this because it's for the greater good. People, we need society to take on to get a college or college level skills.
Go ahead.
But I just want to say that the caller raises some great, great points.
And we are speaking again with not only you but Andre Perry about Biden's plan to cancel college debt. And we're going to continue speaking with you as we continue on Detroit Today. Angel in Detroit, you keep it locked in here. We're going to speak to you next as Detroit Today continues in just a moment.
WDET is your place for open dialogue.
The music you love.
Real news and in-depth analysis.
And cultural experiences. The sound of Detroit.
101.9 WDET is your public radio station.
Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson as we speak about President Biden's move to cancel up to $20,000 in student debt, a plan he says will eliminate almost 45% of borrowers' student loans and student debt in one act. We're speaking with you about it as well. What do you feel about the plan? Do you feel like it goes far enough? Is it a good first step? Should it have gone further? Give us a call, 313-577-1019. Again, 313-577-1019, and we'll work you into the conversation with Andre Perry, senior fellow at Brookings Metro. Want to hear what you plan on doing with that extra cash, the extra money, the extra skrilla that you'll be able to get as a result of this debt forgiveness. And right now we'll speak with Angel in Detroit. Angel, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Thank you so much for talking about this. I know we have talked about it a lot. I do believe that it's a step. I don't believe it's enough. Like the caller before said, a lot of that is going to just be your interest that has accumulated over time. Both me and my husband graduated from a college. We did not come out working in the position or the field that we had studied in. And our student loan debt, we literally need to have no bills, no obligations for 2 years in order just to pay it off completely. And the $20,000 is a help, but at the end of the day, it's still going to cost us a lot. And now we have a child who will go to college next year, and we have to hesitate and think of different ways to make sure that he doesn't have this same issue that we've experienced from taking out student loans that, of course, did help us make it to through college. But at the end of the day, we can't afford to pay those back. And there's no options for us in that manner.
Excellent points, Angel. And I really do appreciate you giving a call and telling that story, because I think that's something that faces a lot of Americans. And that's also something I'm interested in, how this affects interest and interest payments. How does that play into the plan as it exists right now? But I want to give you an opportunity, Andre, not only to discuss the interest portion of it, but really speak and answer Angel's comment and question for you.
Yeah, Angel, she brings up something that's also important, that low to moderate and even middle income people are still struggling, largely because of interest and debt overall. But wealthy people have the luxury of tax advantage 529 savings programs that they use to send their kids to college. So these are in most states, they have some type of savings plan that you can participate in, and anyone can participate in it. However, wealthy people can put much more money into this tax shelter so that they get some relief in many ways from their pocketbooks. And so wealthy people have a lot of different advantages, and certainly 529 plans are just one of several. But when it comes to working class, middle class folks, we're asking them to shoulder a lot of the burden. And again, I can't say this enough, we do need a plan to extinguish interest. And put the pressure remove some of the benefits to the banks because many people are just paying interest until they die. And we know that, you know, that's just holding back the economy. We want more people to fully participate in the economy. We want people to purchase homes. We want people to buy cars. We want people to be debt free. And so if we cancel the interest, we'll move a lot closer to strengthening the overall economy and the workforce.
Thank you again so much, Angel, for your comment and calling Detroit Today. It was very useful, very helpful to the conversation. And that means that we have an open line for you out there listening as well. Give us a call, 313-577-1019. Join the conversation. Tell us your thoughts on Biden's announced plan to cancel up to $20,000 in student loan debt for borrowers out there, how that will affect you, if you think it goes far enough, if you think it goes too far, if you think it's a good policy idea in the first place. And we do have comments on Twitter, as I mentioned. We are looking at folks like Walter on Twitter, who says, taxpayers need a revolt to completely decouple themselves from higher education. Kick DC out of local pre-K through 12. And we're moving to the phones right now as we have Mike in Gross Point. Mike, you are on Detroit Today.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Well, this student loan forgiveness is a drop in the bucket, but it's a step in the right direction. Beginning with those tax cuts of Ronald Reagan in the 80s, the Republican Party has had their goal to limit those who get educated in the United States. And it's been no accident that those with the highest education happen to be white and wealthy. And the pushback from the Republican Party with this loan forgiveness is more evidence of that. And nowhere is it more profoundly evident as in Macomb County, where it seems that the working class whites there have been brainwashed by the Republican Party into voting against their own interests, seem proud that their kids don't go to college. And it's a plan by the Republicans to prevent anyone but the 1% from being highly educated. And it just needs to change. Thank you.
Appreciate you calling in, Mike from Gross Point. Andre, I'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Yeah, Mike, I think you raised some important points that we got to be careful when folks say, I didn't go to college, my kids aren't going to college. We absolutely need more people to get the skills that are created in college. Now, I will say that many of those skills can be had at community colleges, certainly four-year institutions. But we really got to be careful demonizing higher education because we need it if we're going to be competitive, not only in the local context, but in an international context. We don't need the skills of an industrial age anymore. And so this is going to be a hard shift for many Americans, but the reality is that we will have to move towards a system where the burden of going to college is not placed on the students. And so if we're going to be competitive as a country, so I think the caller has a lot of great points there. We got to be careful demonizing college.
Andre, I've heard you say multiple times that we're going to have to change how we fund college. But again, you got a gridlocked Congress. So in terms of what the Biden administration is able to do with the power of administrative orders and the tools they have in their toolbox, to the extent that that's something that we have to do, is there a mechanism that Biden could use to accomplish that? And if so, what is it?
I think we're already moving in that direction. And in red states, many red states, you actually have free community college. And so it's going to be incumbent upon those college leaders to say, look, our students want to not only move on from their 2 year, they want to go to 4 year. And why should they have to pay these exorbitant rates? And so I think it will be some maneuvering on the parts of higher ed leaders, who, by the way, are not as forceful in creating a free college system. I mean, they are one of the barriers. So it's not just a gridlock Congress, it's a gridlock higher ed lobby that also is putting the brakes on this type of move. But we are already doing this at the community college level, because if you qualify for a Pell, you get state aid. It generally covers the cost of admission. And so we should be able to see that at the four-year institutions as well. So we're moving towards that direction. I think if you have a leader who is savvy, I don't think it's going to be in the next this presidential cycle, maybe not the next. But I do think eventually people will say, you know what, this is this should not be as a much of a political issue as it is, because we're already seeing free college at the community college level.
It's Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET, where we're discussing Biden's plan to forgive a lot of student loan debt and how it affects us here in Michigan, Detroit, and the country. SL on Twitter says, super happy about it. I didn't have loans. My parents could afford to fully fund a 529. And now what life looks like without and know what life looks like without a debt burden. I want that for everyone. Triple exclamation points. I appreciate people who want good things for all of us out there, man. We're all just trying to make it, just like Harry in Sterling Heights. Harry, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
That's a great topic. I'm a graduate of Wayne State in 1972. I don't think my college education cost me $1,000, but I work part-time. The problem I have now with the administrators are getting arrested for sexual improprieties. You got Tom Izzo making $6, $7 million a year. Harbaugh making $8 million a year. I mean, and the football team and basketball team are getting money from the NCAA for TV endorsements. Can't they spread the wealth around? How much money can you make?
That is a very – I appreciate all of your points, Harry, from Sterling Heights, who I understand – I guess you're a Tartar, not a warrior, but love you over here at Wayne State where we're broadcasting fun. But I bring that question to you, Andre. When is enough enough? Can you speak to Harry's point, please?
Well, there are different funding mechanisms for these coaches. I mean, they're drawing a lot from their ticket sales and other revenue. But the point is clear that I actually believe that coaches and other athletic personnel should be treated like professors, that they should receive the same type of funding. But we're actually what we're seeing in terms of college athletics, a new era in which we're going to really be more club sports in a sense of they're sort of like soccer in Europe, where there's an affiliation with the institution or city, and they're essentially managing a private, you know, organization, club, that is affiliated with the university to get out of this mess, because it doesn't look good when your coach and your football program is making so much money and their services on campuses are wanting. But I don't want to mix up budgets here, because much of the way that coaches are paid is through different revenue streams, that because people are going into the stands, people are buying tickets, people are buying apparel, they have donors for that. I used to be a professor and a dean. I would love for booster clubs to give to the colleges of education over the country, but they're not. So, but the point is, we do need to create systems that are more equitable in nature.
Yeah. Excellent points there. Appreciate that. As we continue here on Detroit Today, 101.9 WDET, when we continue, we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on Biden's plan to forgive student loan debt for so many Americans? Does it go far enough? Does it go too far? Give us a call, 313-577-1019, and we'll work you into the conversation when we continue. Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson as we discuss Biden's plan to cancel college debt with Andre Perry, senior fellow at Brookings Metro. And we want to speak to as many of you as possible. So we're going to ask you, as we're coming up towards the end of the show, to keep your comments as brief as you can. We still want to hear from you. And we want to hear from Dale in Royal Oak, who is next on Detroit Today. Dale, go ahead.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. One quick question is, does the plan count people who have already gone to college or already gone to school and include the debt that they may be incurring now in graduate school? Also, I'm retired. I live on Social Security. You know, I have expenses. And I think the limit below which people will get this benefit of $125,000 for a single person, they did go to school to try to make that kind of money. And I think it's a nice wage if you get $125,000. So I think they should probably be able to pay that debt. Also, does it include people who have been paying that debt? And now if they get have $10,000 left on the debt, now it's going to be wiped out, whereby they probably could have continued to pay that debt. So those are my comments. I have others. And also, I think this whole thing has more to do about how much the total debt in the country for this problem is affecting the economy.
All right, very good. Dale, I appreciate the questions. I'm going to present them to Andre. Go ahead.
Yeah, the way I read it, it's any federal loan. And so whether you've taken it in undergrad or graduate, and originally he said undergraduate, but the way I read it, it's any federal loan that you've taken. And can you give me some of the other questions? I'm blanking.
Yeah, I think his comment was just saying that $125K seems to be a high amount and you should be able to pay that back. I believe you addressed that a little bit earlier, cost of living rises and, of course, how that affects African-Americans. But to the extent that you want to comment on that number.
Yeah, $125K. You know, is different for different people. So $125,000 for African Americans typically means that that person went to college and because of wealth differences probably have significantly more debt than a person who have $125,000 but their parents own homes.
Right.
And so, you know, I think what Biden tried to do is make it high enough where you're addressing some of that issue, but not too high where you're essentially supporting upper class individuals.
Right. Annette in West Bloomfield, you're on Detroit Today. Go ahead. Annette, are you there? West Bloomfield.
Yes, I didn't hear by name.
Go ahead. No worries. Go ahead.
How's Stephen? I hope he's well and his family.
They're doing great. They're doing great. Go ahead.
Okay. That is good. I do believe in the actual concept of getting the $20,000 back, but that isn't going to be anything near the most people that I've spoken to actually can get themselves out of debt in the sense of school. It really doesn't help people to begin a profession that's highly needed, like doctors or nurses. The cost of going to school is much, much higher. And yes, I do believe that sometimes it's culturally pulled back and held back. If you don't have a start from your family, it makes it very difficult. There are some lovely programs out there for our community, but not for everybody, and it becomes difficult. Is there any way that they would consider higher amounts? Because we do seem to give away our money to war efforts and problems around the world that are important, but what about at home?
I really appreciate your call and your thoughtful comments, Annette. Go ahead, Andre. I know you had a response.
Yeah. The Biden administration has been trying to deal with this issue, what they call regressivity. Is the program benefiting the rich? And to be clear, most loans, debt amounts are under $20,000, most. But when you look at the overall debt that is held, a lot of it is held by upper class people who are going to medical school, to law school. But in terms of individual loans, the number of actual loans there are, most are under 20,000. And so, but Biden has tried to stave off this idea that we shouldn't provide benefits to the wealthy. To that, and the caller makes a great point, during a time when doctors are more vital than ever, we actually want them to encourage more physicians, regardless of where they're coming from. In terms of socioeconomic background. So I think the caller makes a great point. We need to give access college access to people whoever they are. And that's why I do believe that we need a public option similar to what we see in K-12. And just to give the callers some background, I wrote a piece on this on the Brookings platform, and it's titled Biden Student Debt Cancellation Doesn't Solve for the Root Problems Facing Borrowers, But It's a Start. So if you go to that source, you can learn more about what my thoughts on this.
Thank you again so much, Annette, for calling in and your thoughtful points. As we have a comment from Zeke on Twitter, I saw an analysis on CNBC that this debt could cost taxpayers on average $2,000 a piece. Andre, is that true? What do you have to say about that?
It's going to cost $300 billion overall. But this is where it's, the benefits of the people who are getting their loans extinguished will benefit the entire country and the economy overall. And so there is a price tag on this, no question about it. And I don't know about the exact amount, but you shouldn't lose sight of the fact that this will improve labor markets in ways that are somewhat immeasurable in terms of getting people out of debt, having them buy homes, having them start businesses. People literally can start businesses with $20,000. And we've seen some of the benefits of this already. If there were a few bright spots about the pandemic, I never wanted to say the pandemic was good, but what we saw was Black millennials saw a small increase in home ownership rates during the first few quarters. Why? Obviously, a lot of people were able to save, but we froze student loans. So it helped their student income debt ratios. And so when you buy a home, you're also contributing to economy in ways that, we don't fully recognize. So again, we got to be careful saying, oh, this is costing me, when at the end of the day, you're receiving benefits from people getting a college education and not having debt.
We're speaking with Andre Perry here on 101.9 WDET. As next up, we have Sharon in Southfield. Sharon, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is a really important, subject for me. I have parent loans that I had to take out for my daughter. Mm. As she was going to college, and she has $100,000 of debt, and she went to Wayne State, so it's not an expensive school. Compared to other schools that are here in the state, the one thing I did find is the predatory lending is just ridiculous. It's crazy how much she was pushed on loans. And then now looking at the loan forgiveness, which I support 100%, even if I didn't have a daughter in this situation, I support a free public option like you're talking about. The one thing I did want to have your guest talk about is private loans, because I know that's not counted here in terms of the forgiveness, but it is a huge problem. And then the other thing is we noticed with my other daughter that when we would visit other state colleges, like we went to Minnesota, their in-state tuition was so much cheaper than Michigan, and it's just ridiculous. So if he could talk about that, I'd appreciate it.
I do appreciate that as well, Sharon. Excellent questions. And Andre, we got about a minute left, if you could go ahead and answer those.
Well, I neglected to talk about the Parent PLUS loan is included in this. And you're right, it's really, this entire plan is only eligible for federal loans. And so not private loans, because a lot of people in the private sector are getting great interest rates because of they're wealthy, so they can go to private banks. So people who are struggling naturally go to federal loans. So that's why it's directed to that. And regarding states and state legislatures, it's incumbent upon your representatives to keep college tuitions low. Math, the way we teach math has not changed in centuries, but the price of it has remarkably. So but we do see that public institutions are much less expensive than their private counterparts. So although your public institutions are higher priced in other states, they're still relatively low to private institutions. But we just got to have our elected officials keep pressure on universities to keep prices low.
Andre Perry, great information. Thanks again for joining us. Make sure you come back, all right?
All right, anytime.
Absolutely. This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. The show is produced by Sam Corey. The technical director and engineer is Matthew Trevethan, and Detroit Today's music is created by Sam Bobian and Will Sessions. Tune in on Monday when we speak with Ayal Press about his new book, Dirty Work, and why we have to do so, why do we have so many morally damaging jobs in this country.